Bunny sniffed, and Stacy wished she'd never gotten pregnant in the first place. Harper tried not to wince as she handed over her credit card. Some of her pain came from the amount she was forced to pay, but a good portion of it was left over from the waxing treatments she'd just endured. Given how busy things were at work, the first and last month's rent, not to mention the security deposit her new tenant had given her, and her surprisingly intimate relationship with Lucas, Harper decided to treat herself to a little TLC. She'd gone to Epic Day Spa for a haircut and highlights, a brow wax, and a modified bikini wax. The latter was a first-time thing for her, and while she'd been somewhat prepared for the embarrassment based on what she'd read online, she had in no way been prepared for the pain. The brow part had been a little uncomfortable, but when her technician had ripped off those little girl part hairs, it had been all Harper could do to keep from screaming. She was still walking like a cowboy and hoped Lucas appreciated the effort. After adding a generous tip to her credit card slip, she signed it and gingerly walked to her SUV. Once there, she checked her phone and saw she had two missed calls, one from Let's Do Tea, and the other she didn't recognize. She called the tea shop first and spoke to Vera, the owner. "We're in a pickle," the older woman said. "Our website needs a complete redo. It's old and dated, and I just don't know what I'm supposed to say. We have delicious food and tea. Come visit us. But I've been told that's not good enough." Harper chuckled. "Customers can be annoying that way. Do you like the navigation as it is, or do you want to change that as well?" She was happy to update content, but didn't have the skills to deal with the technical end of a professional website. "Navigation," Vera asked, sounding wary. "Do you like where the links are and what they do when people click on them?" "Oh, yes. That's totally fine and all works. It's what's on the pages I don't like. Plus, we're thinking we want to offer a coupon for Tuesday. That's our slowest day, and I have no idea why. It's Tuesday, a great day for scones and tea." "I agree completely. Let me get back to my office and look over the website, then put together a proposal on what I'd suggest. The basic information won't have to change. You still serve delicious food and tea, but with a few easy updates, we can probably make things look fresh and new." "I'd like that a lot. We were so happy with that flyer you did for us, and the design for the holiday gift cards." "I'm glad. I'll get you a proposal by tomorrow afternoon, say by 3, so I can call after the lunch rush." "Perfect. You're a lifesaver, Harper. Thank you." "You're welcome. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Vera." Harper sent herself a reminder, then returned the second call to a woman named Phyllis. "This is going to sound really strange, but my sister uses the landscaping company you did the billing for, the one where everything got messed up." Harper held in a groan. Why did mistakes always have a half-life? "That would be me." "She was so impressed with how you handled yourself. She's friends with the owner, and he told her the whole story, how you corrected everything and did a month's billing for free. It's a work ethic I can respect. I own a pool cleaning business. We have customers all over the South Bay area, and the billing takes forever. Normally I do it, but I'm getting married, and honestly, I want to cut back on my hours for the next few months. I don't want to hire someone just for the billing, so my sister suggested I give you a try." "I'd be happy to help you out," Harper said, more than a little surprised by the odd referral. Maybe Morgan screwing up at a bright side. "Let me call you when I'm back in the office and I have my schedule in front of me. I'd like to set up a time to come by and look at your program and discuss what you need more fully." "Sounds great. I'll wait to hear from you." Two jobs in a single morning, Harper thought happily as she drove home. She ran into the house and yelled for Dean. "We have more clients," she announced happily. "Let's Do Tea wants a website spruce, and a pool service business wants us to do the billing." Dean walked into the living room, then put his hands on his hips. "I knew it," he said as he circled her. "I knew it in my gut. Lance told me I was imagining things, but I'm not wrong, am I?" Harper's elation shifted into caution. "I have no idea what you're talking about," she said primly, even though she could make a decent guess. "Oh, you know. There's a man," he pointed at her. "Highlights and a brow wax. You've been extra happy. Getting laid happy. Who are you seeing and why haven't I met?" Dean's eyes widened.
Shut the F up. You're sleeping with Lucas.
What? That's crazy. I'm too old for him. You've seen his girlfriends. I could be their mother.
Uh-huh. While that all sounded convincing, you didn't deny it.
Dean grinned.
He's very handsome, and I like his style. I think you make a cute couple.
No, we're not a couple. We're not.
Harper wished she sounded a little more certain and a lot less whiny.
Dean patted her arm.
I get it. You're keeping things quiet because of Becca. Don't worry, I won't say a word.
He linked arms with her and led her back to their office. Now, tell me all about the new clients and how much pretty money they're going to be paying us. And after you're done with that, I have a proposal.
Which is?
Dean had rearranged the big workspace so that their desks were pushed up against each other in the center of the room. That left the wall space available for cabinets, files, and a long work table for special projects. A big dry erase calendar showed what was due when, and there was another progress list for big jobs that had to be done in stages. Dean gestured.
We're going to need to hire someone to help with all we have going on.
He held up a hand.
Before you tell me that getting another person in here freaks you out, and that you're not sure how much of this work is permanent, and you'd hate to find someone and train them, only to fire them in 3 months, I have a solution.
We really do share a mind. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Scary, huh? He grinned. Here's my suggestion.
He paused for a second.
Becca.
My daughter?
She's smart, she's responsible, and those videos she did for the city were great. Summer's coming up, and she's going to want to earn some money. Working here is the perfect solution, especially because she can work for me.
What do you mean?
She'll be my employee, not yours. You and I will figure out what we need her to do, and I'll pass on the assignments.
He leaned back in his chair.
Trust me, I know all about mother-daughter dynamics. She's a great kid, and you're tight and all. But you're her mother, not her boss. I think things will go more smoothly if I'm the one she reports to. The best part is, come September, she's back in school. At that point, you and I can assess where we are. We'll have an idea of which clients are steady and which are one-offs. At that point, we can make a more informed hiring decision.
Once again, Harper knew she had reason to be incredibly grateful to her sister for suggesting Dean. Everything he said made sense, especially the part about Becca working for him.
I couldn't love you more right now, she said.
I know. Dean sighed. It's a curse, but one I live with. I'll talk to Becca when she gets home from school. Now, tell me about our new clients.
One of them is Let's Do Tea.
Dean groaned.
Do not get paid in scones. I would eat them all and explode.
Don't worry. I'm not going to risk that for anything.
Chapter 25
Becca jogged along the boardwalk, Jazz at her side. She was tired and her back hurt from her being hunched over her computer, but the report was done. She'd stayed up late 3 nights, had done more research than she ever had before, and had rewritten 2 sections twice, which should have seriously pissed her off. Instead, she felt a weird sense of accomplishment, as if she'd done something really important. She wanted to tell herself it was just a dumb report to get a decent grade so that Lucas would help her get the last of her driving hours, but something told her that wasn't really the case. She'd done a great job. She'd worked hard, and she was proud of herself. It wasn't a feeling she was used to. Maybe this was what Lucas had been talking about all along, how she had to step up and do the right thing, even if it was hard or boring or whatever. She still missed her friends, still wanted her mom to pay more attention to her, but other than that, she had to admit she was pretty happy. Ashton was amazing, and she loved spending time with him. He always listened, and he totally got her. As for the sex thing, it was possible he'd been right. She liked what they were doing. Beside her, Jazz kept up easily. They left the boardwalk and headed back toward the residential area. Becca slowed to a walk, and Jazz did the same.
We are busy, aren't we?
She said aloud. Jazz glanced at her as if agreeing.
You're such a smart dog. We should do something with that.
They turned at the corner, and Becca was surprised to find that she'd automatically walked toward Jordan's. She stood in front of the familiar 2-story house for nearly a minute before marching up to the front door and ringing the bell. Jordan answered. then frowned. "What do you want?"
"You were wrong," Becca told her. "I was your friend, and I told you the truth because I care about you. I was protecting you from something bad, and you punished me for that. Our friendship had value, and you threw it away for a stupid guy. One day you're going to regret that."
She turned on her heel and walked away. Jazz kept pace. When they reached the corner, Becca began to run again. Back home, she gave Jazz fresh water, then began researching online. The steps to getting Jazz certified as a therapy dog were straightforward. She had to pass the AKC Canine Good Citizen test and pass a therapy dog temperament test. Becca found a local volunteer organization in Santa Monica that offered both kinds of tests.
"I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to pass easily," Becca told her dog.
"Oh, look, I have to take a one-day class to be your handler." She grinned. "Wouldn't you know it? I'll have to go to classes more than you. Why am I not surprised?"
She thought about the old people where her grandmother lived. It would be scary to go there, but they seemed to like Jazz, and it would be something for her dog to look forward to.
Becca printed the application she had to fill out and noted the date of the next handler class before doing a search on dog agility. She watched a couple of videos on YouTube.
"You could so do that," she murmured. "Wanna see?"
Jazz didn't raise her head.
"I get it. Dogs don't watch videos."
She typed on her keyboard and found a local park class that taught basic agility. The registration fee made her swallow hard, but that was nothing when compared with what she found when she went looking for the equipment.
"Jazz, there's only one way this is going to work. You're going to have to get a job in television or as a model."
Stacy sat in her car for a second. She had to rally so she could walk the last 10 feet from the garage to the house. For some reason, she'd been exhausted for a couple of days. Maybe Jewel was having her pre-birth growth spurt, and that was using up all of Stacy's resources. Maybe it was her last-minute push to get as much work done as she could before she went into labor. Whatever the reason, all she wanted to do was crawl into bed and sleep for days. She was so tired she didn't even want to bother with dinner. But she would, she thought, as she got out of the car and walked into the house, because her baby needed the nutrition, and it was what she should be doing. If only her ankles weren't so swollen, and her back didn't hurt. She found Ashton on the family room floor with the puppies crawling all over him and Bay watching from a safe distance. The mother dog looked as tired as she felt. Having a baby or raising puppies wasn't easy.
"Hey," Ashton said, barely glancing up from the game. "How was your day?"
"Good. And yours?"
"Fine. Somebody called in sick, so I got a couple of extra hours today. Woohoo!"
She smiled as she set down her backpack and pulled out her phone, then set it on the entry table.
"Did you get your last assignment in?"
The question was more about conversation than concern. Ashton always did what he was supposed to do. She only checked up on him because she wanted to make sure he knew she and Kit were interested in him, and the article she'd read said it was important. From her point of view, Ashton was more than capable of taking care of himself. She hoped that over the summer their relationship could evolve such that she was able to make him feel loved and welcome without having to ask stupid questions. He didn't bother looking up from the television.
"I'll do it later."
She was halfway to the kitchen but came to a stop.
"It's due this week. You said you'd have it done by now. You have to finish the class to graduate. If you don't graduate, you won't be able to go to MIT.
He looked at her. "Relax, Stace. I've got it handled."
She wanted to correct him. Having it handled would mean having it done. Unease joined exhaustion, and she honestly didn't know what to say to him. Bay glanced at her as if following the conversation. Stacy wanted to ask the dog for advice, but that was ridiculous. Ashton was a mature teenager, and he would do the right thing. She was sure of it. Only the unease followed her into the kitchen as she began to prepare dinner. Kit had his support group that night. He'd made friends with several of the men, and they met early to have dinner together. As always, he'd left her an easy dish that only had to be reheated. She put the lasagna in the oven to warm and assembled a salad, then headed to her bedroom where she changed into maternity yoga pants and a T-shirt, before walking back into the kitchen. Bay joined her. After stroking the dog for several minutes, Stacy fixed her dinner and set her bowl in the corner of the eat-in kitchen. Bay began to eat. One of her puppies trotted up and began sniffing at the food, then turned his attention to his mother's ankle and began to chew. Bay stopped eating long enough to make a low sound in her throat. The puppy ignored her and continued to chomp on her foot. Bay growled louder. The puppy immediately stopped and began to back away. "That's telling him," Stacy said as she scooped up the puppy. "Did you hear that? You should listen to your mom. She knows what she's talking about." The puppy licked her nose. Stacy was about to set him on the ground when she got what had just happened. The puppy had done something wrong. Bay had issued a warning, then a sterner instruction, and the puppy had listened. She and Ashton were completely different, but still, it might work. She walked into the family room and turned off the television. Ashton frowned.
"Why'd you do that?"
"You told me you would finish your last assignment several days ago. You said you had less than 30 minutes of work to do. Dinner's going to take about that long. Please get it done now. Before dinner."
His mouth straightened and his eyes narrowed. He stood and took a step toward her in an obvious attempt to intimidate her with his size. Honestly, the males of every species were just so predictable.
"You're telling me what to do? For real?"
She was tired, huge, swollen, and only a couple of weeks away from giving birth. She didn't have the patience for any of this.
"No, Ashton, for fake. You told me you would do the work and you didn't, so I'm asking you to do it now, unless you're comfortable lying to me, and if that's the case, we have a bigger problem. Go finish the damn homework now so we can get on with our evening."
He hesitated as if considering his options. She had no idea what she would do if he flat out refused to do his homework. If only Kit were here, he would have handled the situation so much better.
"Fine," Ashton grumbled. "I'll go do it now. Then can I watch the game while we have dinner?"
"Sure." He started for his bedroom, then stopped and returned to her. After taking the puppy from her, he shocked her by pulling her into a hug.
"Sorry," he said as he released her. "You're right. I've been a butt. I really will go do it and finish out my class."
"Thank you."
Still carrying the puppy, he retreated to his room. She sank onto the sofa and covered her face with her hands. There was no way she was ever going to figure out parenting. It was hard and unpredictable, and she just plain didn't want to. But based on the size of her belly, it was too late for second thoughts.
Harper moved her fingers as quickly as she could. The pattern was familiar, and guilt fueled her speed. "Mom, you're really intense."
"I know. I can't help it. I'm a terrible sister. Lightning is going to strike me for sure."
She glanced at her daughter, then returned her attention to her knitting. "You might want to sit across the room in what would be considered the safety zone."
"You know Aunt Stacy doesn't care, right? She's not into all that baby stuff."
"Maybe not, but I have an obligation." One that had gotten lost in the past couple of months. Her sister was due in less than 2 weeks, and Harper hadn't made her anything. Yes, she'd been there for the shopping for the baby furniture, and after Kit and Ashton had painted the room, she'd helped with the setup, and she already had a week's worth of casseroles in the freezer to take over after the birth, but still. "I ignored decorating for Memorial Day, and now it's all going to hell."
"How's this?"
Becca held up a small cap done in a pale yellow. Harper had already crocheted most of the tiny flowers she would sew onto the cap. On the table were the completed pink tiger hat she'd made, along with a summer dress that would match Becca's cap. She was going to do a quick blanket and maybe a bunny hat and hope that was enough to keep her from a fiery end.
"It's perfect," Harper told her daughter. "Thank you so much for helping out."
"You're welcome." Harper realized she couldn't remember the last time she and her daughter had done something together other than eat. They didn't hang out much anymore, or ever. Some of it was because Becca was older now and had more going on in her life, and some of it was Harper being busy, trying to keep her business and the family afloat. She thought about all the time she and Becca had spent together over the years, craft projects and afternoons making cookies or quick breads. How sad those opportunities had drifted away.
"How are your driving lessons coming?" she asked,
hoping to start a conversation. "Lucas mentioned you were doing well." Becca made a face. "I'm kind of mad at him right now." Harper's heart froze at the horrifying possibility of her daughter knowing about her affair,
Would Becca... But maybe he was right, her daughter continued, then looked at Harper and smiled. I had to do a makeup paper for my history class, and I wasn't done with it, so he wouldn't go driving with me the last time. I was so pissed. But then I kind of realized he was only trying to help me be more responsible and mature.
That is so unfair, Harper said before she could stop herself. If I'd done that to you, you wouldn't have spoken to me for a week.
She immediately wanted to call back the words. Why was she screwing up a perfectly nice moment with the truth? Becca stunned her by grinning and saying, You're right. I would have been mad and pouted, but at least you have coupons you can use to make me behave.
Harper didn't know what to say to that, so she cautiously asked, Where are you in the report now?
It's done. I'm going to turn it in tomorrow. I spent a lot of time on it, and I'm really happy with how it came out.
She made a face.
I thought history was boring, so I didn't pay attention. Lucas told me that I can't just participate in the fun parts of life. He asked if I thought you enjoyed all the stuff you do for me, and while I want to say that you have to like it because I'm your kid, I guess cleaning the toilet is never fun.
It's not my favorite, Harper admitted, wondering what else Lucas had discussed. Not that she didn't trust him, but talk about being close-lipped. The man had depths. It was kind of nice to know he was more than a pretty face who was good in bed.
According to the emails I've gotten from your teachers, you're doing well in your other classes, Harper said.
It's been a good semester. I'm supposed to focus on my pre-college classes for next year, but I really don't know what I want to study or be. I don't know why we have to decide so early, and college is expensive.
Don't worry about the money. We'll figure it out.
She'd been saving as much of the child support as she could, and she would bully Terrence into helping. Plus, with the new renter and the business growing, thanks to Dean, there was a little left over every month.
It's hard to know what you want to do with your life at 17, she added.
These days it seems like everyone has 3 or 4 careers.
That makes my decision confusing, Becca admitted. All the articles they make us read talk about using our passions as a guide. But I'm not sure I have any.
She finished the last row on the hat and cut the yarn, then took a needle and wove the strand into the pattern so it was secure and undetectable.
Mom, I want to get Jazz certified as a therapy dog and take her to where Grandma lives. There's a memory unit and a skilled nursing facility. I've talked to the manager there, and once Jazz has passed her tests, she said I can bring her by. I promise it won't get in the way of my hours working for Dean. I'm going to need a senior project next year anyway, and I thought it could be about working with old people.
She wrinkled her nose.
I think Jazz would like it a lot, and it's easier to get your project approved if it involves volunteering.
Harper stared at her daughter.
I think that's a great idea. What made you think of it?
When I went to see Grandma the first time, I got lost and ended up there. It was scary because they were old and some were really sick, but Jazz didn't mind.
Harper had the sense of having missed a big portion of her daughter growing up. When had Becca become so caring and thoughtful? She'd been that way as a little girl, but over time she'd turned into a teenager. Was she morphing back into who she'd been?
I'd like to come along when you go, Harper told her, if that's okay.
Sure, we can go see Grandma and stock up on cookies and brownies,
because she's still making them nearly every day.
Harper knew her mother would never admit it, but she was enjoying her new life at the retirement community. She'd made friends. There was lots to do. Plus, she got to complain about her children. What could be better?
Stacy had pointed out there were lots of single men there, but despite joking about it before, Harper couldn't deal with the thought of her mother dating. Yes, Bunny was relatively young, and yes, Harper didn't feel that her mother had to live alone for the rest of her life. But honestly, she could not wrap her mind around her mother having sex. No doubt that was exactly how Becca would feel if she knew about Lucas. Not that anyone was going to tell her.
Dean suggested I make videos of my training with Jazz, Becca said, starting another hat. When I have them edited, he said I should show them to the trainer to see if she wants to hire you guys to update her website.
Dean's quite the idea, man. Are you going to be okay working for him? Becca rolled her eyes.
Oh, Mom, you know I couldn't ever work for you. We'd fight all the time. You're so bossy.
Hey, her daughter grinned. Well, you are, but it's okay. I'm very happy with my job. Thank you for letting Dean hire me. I promise to do my best.
I know you will, honey.
She finished the tiny flower she would sew onto the hat Becca had completed. When we're done with this, want to go out for dinner?
Her daughter's eyes widened.
You mean eat food someone else prepared? Are you sure that's okay?
Stop it. We can bring Ashton along if you'd like.
Harper did her best not to smirk.
I haven't spent much time with your new boyfriend. I'm sure there are a lot of questions I should be asking him.
You wouldn't. I absolutely will. But I'll try very hard not to embarrass you. Too much.
Becca groaned and reached for her phone.
Let me see if he's around, she said, already typing in the message. But no pictures from when I was little. You have to swear.
Cross my heart.
Becca was still smiling as she sent off her text.
Harper watched her and felt her heart fill with more love than she could have ever imagined. This young woman was the best part of her. How could Terrence have so little to do with her?
Before the wedding, he'd never been around, and once he got back from his honeymoon, she doubted things would get much better. She was going to have to talk to him again, and somehow convince him that his daughter was important, and if he didn't think so, he had to see that she needed him. If that didn't work, she was pretty sure Lucas knew a guy willing to beat up Terrence for a price.
Chapter 26
Becca set the folder on Mrs. Nemechek's desk.
I did it. The paper is longer than you requested. I added a couple of maps.
She paused.
I thought about pictures, but that seemed like too much.
Her history teacher didn't pick up the folder or even acknowledge it. Instead, she asked, What did you write about?
Germany's decision to invade Russia. Why Hitler did it, and what were the consequences?
Such as?
He couldn't invade Russia and Great Britain at the same time. Even he didn't have the resources. From our perspective, going into Russia is suicide. The landmass is too big, and there are too many people. But back then, it made sense. Germany had resources and a trained army. The Russians had to draft people to protect their country. They didn't know how to fight or have weapons.
Mrs. Nemechek looked skeptical. I asked you to make me feel something, Becca. You're giving me information.
Becca shifted her weight from foot to foot.
It's in the paper. The fighting was awful. The Russian commanders had orders to kill any deserters. There wasn't any food or weapons. Hundreds of thousands of people starved to death. In the Battle of Stalingrad, if you were a new private, you probably wouldn't last more than a day. And they were like my age. I can't imagine what they went through, and then they died, and no one cared.
Mrs. Nemechek gave her a rare smile.
I look forward to reading your paper. I'll post your grade before the end of the semester.
Thank you. I appreciate that you gave me this chance.
You're welcome, Becca.
Try to remember that while you won't enjoy every class you take. If you make an effort, you can always learn something.
Becca nodded and left.
Ashton was waiting for her in the hall.
How did it go? He asked.
She shrugged. I don't know. I hope she likes it.
She was about to say it was because she wanted the good grade so Lucas would help her finish her driving hours, but she realized it was more than that. She wanted to get a good grade because she'd worked hard and had something to prove.
Ashton took her hand and led her out of the building.
You did your best, right?
Uh-huh.
Then let it go. Feel the freedom of having turned in your last paper.
I still have finals.
But for this afternoon, you're young, you're happy. You're with me.
She laughed.
I am with you.
Next up, agility equipment for Jazz.
Becca's good mood evaporated.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. It's really expensive.
That's why we're going to explore used.
You have the address.
Becca pulled a small piece of paper out of her back pocket. She'd found someone selling agility equipment online. It looked a bit battered in the picture, but was so much cheaper than anything new.
Becca had her savings, and she would be working for Dean, so she would have some money. But no way could she afford the lessons and the equipment unless she could get a good deal.
They drove to the Culver City address the seller had given her. A 40-something black-haired woman greeted them at the door and led them around to the backyard.
I only used it for a couple of years. Hero, my dog, had some trouble with his hips, so we had to let the training go.
It's real good quality.
Becca didn't say anything. The ad had offered the equipment for $500. She had $200 in cash. It would clean her out, but be a really good start for Jazz. There were cheap kits online for less than that,
but everything she'd read said not to waste her money. Jazz was too big, too strong, and powerful, and she would tear up the lightweight plastic in a few sessions. As promised, there were jumps, rings, weave pulls, even a teeter-totter. The chute tunnel had a couple of tears, but otherwise was in good shape. But the price? How much? Ashton asked. 500, and that's firm. Becca's heart sank. Saving to get $500 seemed impossible, especially with her car expenses and the cost of the training classes. Ashton walked over to the weave poles.
I could make these out of PVC pipe. That's a white plastic pipe. I could just cut it into poles and we'd stick them in the ground.
Becca studied the poles and realized he was right. We could make a chute tunnel, she said slowly. My mom can sew anything. I think she has special needles to work with plastic. She smiled. She makes all our seasonal outdoor flags out of waterproof material. Maybe she should look online for DIY instructions for making the rest of it. At least for now. Lucas would help, and Ashton. She was only going to be working about 30 hours a week. Even with Jazz's classes and visiting the memory unit, she would have time to...
I knew it, the dark-haired woman said. You're trying to get me to reduce the price.
I was hoping you would, but I only have $200, so there's no way we can make this work. Thank you for your time.
Becca and Ashton started for his car. Wait! The woman hurried after them.
Do you have it in cash?
Becca pulled the bills out of her jeans front pocket.
Right here. Damn it.
The woman looked from the equipment to the cash, then sighed.
Fine, just take it. I'm tired of looking at it anyway.
Becca handed over the bills.
The woman counted them. I'd like a receipt, Becca told her.
Of course you would. Fine. I'll go write it up while you load everything in the car. 15 minutes later, they squeezed all the equipment in the car. Becca had to share the passenger space with the weave poles and flattened chute tunnel, but she didn't mind.
Mom and I never use the backyard anymore, Becca said, hoping she didn't sound too young in her excitement. The patio sometimes, but never the grass. I can set this all up right away. Jazz is going to love it. She's really smart and athletic. She doesn't have a strong hunting drive like some breeds, but she's a working dog, so she'll do what she's supposed to because it makes her feel good.
Ashton grinned at her. Someone's been doing her homework on the topic. Before she could decide if he liked or didn't like that about her, he added, I always wanted a smart girlfriend, and now I have one.
She laughed. Let's wait and see what Mrs. Nemechek gives me on my paper before we say if I'm smart or not.
I don't need your teacher to tell me, Becca. I already know.
Happy words that made her feel all squishy inside, she thought. Very happy words.
Harper knew it was a cliché, but she actually felt like a new species at a zoo exhibition. Everyone was friendly enough, and there was lots of chatter, but the sense of being stared at would not go away.
Lucas had invited her to a barbecue at his partner's house. Kirk Belden was also a detective at the LAPD, and he also lived in Mischief Bay with his wife and son. There were probably 20 or 25 people milling around in the backyard. Tables had been scattered around, and the barbecue was on the patio. A few young kids ran around and played, chased by a very strange alien-looking dog with fluffy white hair and a pink T-shirt trimmed in rhinestones.
This is Lulu, Lucas said, scooping up the dog as she ran past.
She immediately relaxed into his arms and gave his chin a quick lick.
She's a Chinese crested with very delicate skin, so she wears clothes and sunscreen and probably has her own masseuse.
He gestured to a 50-something woman sitting with a familiar-looking man with gray hair and a trimmed beard.
That's Pam, her mom.
He frowned.
Pam is also Jen's mom. Jen is Kirk's wife. Their son Jack is the crazy toddler running around and talking up a storm.
Harper tried to keep up. Jen's the one who's pregnant?
They're having a girl in a couple of months.
He pointed to a pretty, dark-haired woman, about 30, with a baby in her arms.
That's Zoe. She's Jen's best friend. See the guy with Pam?
Yes.
That's Miguel. He and Pam are a couple, and Zoe is his daughter. She's marrying Pam's son, Stephen, in September. They have a little girl who's about 7 months old.
Harper looked at him. Jen's best friend is married to Jen's brother, and Jen's mother is dating her best friend's father?
It's kind of a soap opera.
There's an understatement. She watched everyone interact. They seem lovely.
They are. After I was shot, Jen made me move in with her family while she took care of me.
Because he didn't have anyone else, Harper thought. Lucas didn't have family, and it wasn't as if any of his girlfriends would have been capable. That was nice of her. Lucas watched Jen as she checked on her guests.
She's special.
There was something about the way he said the words.
Harper wondered if there was more between Jen and Lucas than either of them wanted to let on. She had her chance to find out a few minutes later when Jen came over and smiled at Harper.
I'm heading in to assemble salads. Want to help?
A very innocent question, but Harper had a feeling there would be a test of who could grill the other better.
I'd love to.
She turned to Lucas.
You going to be okay by yourself?
I'll manage.
Harper took her glass of white wine with her and followed Jen into the house.
The kitchen was large and well laid out.
There was a small table for Jack and plenty of storage. Jen began pulling different ingredients out of the refrigerator. She was barefoot and pretty in cropped pants and a maternity T-shirt with an arrow pointing to her belly. The text on the shirt proclaimed, "Future Madam President."
Thanks for inviting me, Harper told her. This is nice.
You're welcome. I'm glad to finally meet you. Lucas hasn't said much, so we're all curious.
I'm sure you are.
The two women looked at each other. Harper was still trying to figure out what she could ask without seeming rude when Jen drew in a breath and spoke.
I'm going to address the elephant in the room, she said. You're not his usual type.
You mean I'm not a 20-year-old airhead? I mean, it's not like there aren't plenty of intelligent, pretty women in their 20s, but does he date those? Of course not. A lack of brain power seems to be a prerequisite.
Right? Jen laughed. Although, I like to think the smart ones aren't interested in dating a guy about the same age as their dad.
Or older.
So true.
They smiled at each other.
I can't explain it, Harper admitted. I'm a virtual assistant. Lucas hired me last year after he'd been shot in the line of duty. While he was in the hospital and living here, a lot of his bills went unpaid. He didn't want that to happen again, so he has me manage that part of his life. We've been friends for a while, and now we're seeing each other.
So you knew about the girls he dates from the start?
He would bring them around, which makes him and me totally unexpected.
I'm glad he found someone normal, Jen told her.
He's a good guy.
He speaks highly of you as well.
Harper let the words just hang there.
Jen's eyes widened.
Oh, I just got that. No, he and I are friends. Good friends. He was brutally honest with me at a time when I needed to hear the truth, but that's all. Kirk is the love of my life, and I'm lucky to have him.
Tension Harper hadn't acknowledged eased.
It's good to have friends.
It is. I hope you and Lucas make it work.
Harper nodded, but otherwise didn't respond.
Her and Lucas?
She had her doubts about it lasting.
Yes, he was great, and she really liked being with him.
While the sex was fantastic, she enjoyed his company even more. He was funny, smart, kind, and an all-around great guy. She couldn't imagine.
No, no, absolutely not. She would not, could not fall for him.
She was some pit stop as he made his way through a romantically uncommitted life.
All his relationships came with a rapidly dwindling shelf life.
She was many things, but stupid wasn't one of them.
Lucas was not someone who stuck around. He never had.
She would enjoy what they had while it lasted, and then happily move on, no matter what.
Becca finished her lunch, then pulled out her geometry book. If she did her final review now, she wouldn't have to take her book home and do it later. She worked through the first final practice problems fast enough, then stumbled over number 9.
There was always one, she thought with a smile. What's so funny?
She looked up and saw Jordan standing by her table. Becca had taken to sitting outside on the rear patio. None of the cool kids wanted to be there. It was quiet and sort of hidden. When you were popular, it was important to be seen. In the last few weeks, as Becca had found herself more and more ostracized from her friends, she'd taken refuge in the solitude. At least out here she didn't have to worry about anyone noticing that she was alone. After a while, she'd discovered there were advantages to having an extra half hour to do her homework.
Nothing much.
Becca closed her book and slid her homework into her folder.
Jordan surprised her by sitting down.
I never see you anymore. What have you been doing?
Becca didn't know how to answer that. The reason she and Jordan didn't hang out was because Jordan's boyfriend was a jerk, and Jordan was a bad friend.
Probably not what she should say, Becca told herself. She searched for a more politically correct truth and decided on, I'm spending a lot of time with Jazz. We're going to classes so she can be certified as a therapy dog. Jordan's expression was blank. Jazz is the dog Great Aunt Cheryl left me?
Uh-huh. So she'll come to school with you and stuff?
Becca did her best not to roll her eyes. She'll be a therapy dog, not an emotional support animal. I'm going to take her to the memory unit at a retirement community, where she can hang out with the residents there. She had to complete a bunch of training, which is part of what I'll be doing this summer. I've already talked to my counselor about making that my senior project. Jordan groaned. That sounds great. I have no idea what I'm going to do. You know they love it when we volunteer. Ugh. I don't want to hang out with a bunch of homeless people or sick kids or anything. She winced. That sounded meaner than I meant. It's okay. I got scared when I first went to the memory unit, but the lady who runs the service animal program says I'll get used to it. Jazz needs to be busy, and this is something that can help her and other people. Becca was surprised at how mature she sounded.
It was kind of impressive. Jordan played with the strap on her backpack.
I've seen you around. You were with some guy last weekend getting ice cream. Who is he?
Ashton. He's my Uncle Kit's nephew, the one we talked about before. He's going to MIT in September.
Jordan looked at her. Are you two together?
Becca nodded.
Jordan returned her attention to her backpack. That's nice. Nathan and I...
Her eyes filled with tears and her voice thickened.
What he said to you, he said to Ella Powers. Only she said yes. I caught them together.
Tears spilled onto her cheeks.
It was so horrible. He laughed at me and said I was stupid for trusting him like that. He said every guy is just out for what he can get, and I'd better grow up.
Becca didn't know what to say, so she got up and circled around the table, then sat next to Jordan and hugged her.
I'm sorry. He's a total dick. What a jerk. You deserve better than that.
Jordan's body shook with her sobs.
I was so sure he loved me. I thought he cared. Finally, someone was there for me. At least that's what I thought. But he was only pretending so I'd have sex with him.
Becca bit her lower lip as Jordan cried.
Everyone is watching me. They're all talking about me behind my back. A couple of girls have said I deserve it. They're posting horrible stuff about me.
I haven't seen it, Becca admitted. I don't check any of that anymore.
Jordan straightened and stared at her.
How can you not look?
I'm busy. Plus, it wasn't as if she had a ton of friends right now. Who was going to send her anything?
I'm sorry, Jordan told her. I was so awful to you, and you were the only one telling me the truth. I should have listened.
It's okay.
It's not, but I hope we can be friends again.
Sure.
The reply was automatic and was followed by a sense of uncertainty. Becca wanted to have friends in her life again, but she wasn't sure if she could trust Jordan not to act like that again. Jordan had always been into drama and being the center of attention.
So we can hang out?
Of course.
Jordan smiled at her.
Thank you, Becca. I knew you'd understand.
Becca smiled back, even as she wondered if she'd found her way back to something important, or if she'd just set herself up to be screwed a second time.
Chapter 27 Stacy woke up feeling exactly the same way she had when she went to bed the night before. Swollen, exhausted, achy, and crabby. She wanted to pick a fight with pretty much anyone, and wished she could get one of those foam bats so she could pound away without hurting anyone. She didn't want to eat or drink or talk. She just wanted to feel better. She forced herself to shower, then stood in the bathroom and tried to convince herself she would be fine once she got to work. Only for the first time maybe ever, she couldn't imagine dragging herself into the lab today. She called Lexi and told her she was taking the morning off, pulled on maternity yoga pants and a t-shirt, then went into the kitchen, dreading a disgusting breakfast of protein-fortified oatmeal, fresh fruit, and herbal tea. She found Ashton sitting at the table, his tablet in front of him. He looked up when she walked in.
"Morning. You're not going to work?"
"Maybe later. I'm just so tired."
He eyed her swollen belly. "Dragging all that around can't be easy. Can I fix you breakfast?"
His unexpected question almost made her cry. She sank into a chair.
Thank you. That would be wonderful.
No problem. He got up and filled the tea kettle and put it on the stove. After measuring out the oatmeal, he put it in a bowl, then pulled out a container of cut-up fruit.
I heard back on the online class, he said, sounding sheepish. I got an A.
Congratulations.
Don't say that. I don't deserve it. I have no idea why I was goofing off like that. It was really stupid.
There could be a lot of reasons. You are still settling into living here, so nothing is familiar. You are adjusting to having Becca in your life. You are ambivalent about your mother and guilty about your success when compared to what she's going through, so you self-sabotage.
Bay wandered into the kitchen, one of her puppies trailing after her.
You're uncomfortably insightful.
She waved away his comment as she patted Bay.
Just speculating. I'm not sure the why matters so much now that you're aware of what you did. I think as long as you don't let it happen on a regular basis when you go to college, you'll be fine.
He measured loose tea into the teapot before adding the boiling water. He set the pot, a cup, and saucer, along with a tea strainer in front of her. He added a container of yogurt, a spoon, some fresh fruit, and a napkin.
I'll get going on the oatmeal.
Thank you.
She felt the strangest need to cry and did her best to push away the tears. Talking about something less emotional than him preparing her breakfast seemed the best way to cope.
Are you nervous about college?
She asked. Some. He measured out water from the kettle and poured it, along with oatmeal, into a pot, then adjusted the temperature on the stove and began to stir the mixture.
Not counting you and Kit. No one I've known has ever gone to college. I'm not sure what to expect.
Finally, a topic on which she could excel. If there was one thing she knew and knew well, it was how to get through the maze that was higher education.
The first thing you have to be prepared for is how huge the campus is. All major colleges are practically their own cities. The dorms have very specific rules about when you can show up and what you can bring. But don't worry about that. We'll go in a few days early so you're completely comfortable with where everything is.
Ashton glanced at her, all the while stirring her oatmeal.
You're coming with me when I go to MIT?
Not if you don't want me to, but I planned on making sure you were settled. We can ship a lot of your stuff ahead, but some things just aren't practical. I'll have to read the rules for the dorms. Sometimes you can have a mini-fridge and sometimes you can't. That sort of thing. Linens matter, believe me. A good desk chair. You're not used to the winters, so you'll need several coats and different material to manage the weather. We definitely want to buy those there. Los Angeles is not the place to try to buy a heavy-duty coat.
Thanks, Stacy. That means a lot to me.
He spoke without turning around, and his voice sounded slightly strangled. She wasn't sure what that meant, but decided it was better not to ask. Once you start school, you have to be prepared for the speed at which everything moves. Academically, you'll start to feel lost within a couple of days. Don't let that throw you. Everyone is experiencing the same thing. Find out who the TAs are. Go to tutorials. You're going to have to create your own support group, but don't jump into anything. You want to find out who's smart and who's working hard. They aren't always the same people. Protect your study time. Create a study schedule and stick to it. You can party after you graduate.
He turned around and grinned. You're saying I'll have temptations?
More than you can count. Not just parties, but other activities, lectures and workshops. They can be just as interesting.
What were you tempted by?
She poured herself a cup of tea and took a sip. Bay had settled at her feet. The other puppies had joined the first, and now they all climbed over their mother, who seemed content to ignore them. I went to college when I was 15. No one bothered with me, but I saw what was happening around me. She dipped her spoon into the yogurt, then left it there. You're as smart as anyone else, but you won't feel it. Just know that they're faking it, too. If you don't understand the assignment, ask. The professors are intimidating on purpose. They want to weed out those who aren't going to stick to the program. There's a reason the class size gets smaller as you move through your studies, and not all of it is because the subject matter is harder. People drop out.
She thought about what else she could tell him. They'll have seminars for freshmen. Go to all of them. Learn about campus life. Once you're in a groove with your studies, you can start to branch out socially. If your roommate parties all night, ask to change rooms. Don't stop asking until you're in a living situation that works for you.
You know your stuff.
I went to school for a lot of years.
Getting two PhDs had taken a bit of time. There was more, but she felt an odd pressure in her belly. Something uncomfortable. She rose. "I'll be right back." As her pregnancy had her running to pee continually, Ashton didn't ask if she was all right, which she appreciated. She made it to the master bathroom only to realize she didn't have to go at all. Her bladder wasn't full. It was... She was unprepared for the pain that ripped through her. One of the books she'd read had likened contractions to menstrual cramps, but except for location, these had nothing in common. The sharp, almost twisting band of tightening muscles had her leaning against the wall and trying to catch her breath. A quick wave of nausea swept over her before fading. The contraction eased, and then her water broke. What was it with the human body and fluids? She thought, as she stared at the mess on the floor. The steady dribble down her legs warned her this wasn't like the movies, where there was a clean whoosh and then nothing. Even more significant, she sensed things were going to get worse before they got better. She dropped towels on the floor before getting out of her wet pants. She used a sanitary napkin to manage the amniotic fluid as best she could, then put on clean yoga pants and took a few minutes to try to relax and catch her breath before she went to find her phone. Bay was waiting outside the closed door. The dog whined low in her throat when she saw Stacy. "I'm okay," Stacy told her. "It's just..." Another contraction hit. This one was just as intense, just as unwelcome. "Stacy, are you..." Ashton hovered in the doorway to the bedroom for a second, then rushed to her side. "What's wrong?" She handed him the phone and did her best to keep breathing. "I'm having contractions. Call Kit." She looked at Bay. "How did you get through this so calmly?" Bay moved close and licked her hand. Stacy patted her and tried to steady her breathing. "I'm going to be fine," she lied, terrified that nothing would ever be fine again. Stacy acknowledged that she was most likely not the first woman to be annoyed by the euphemism of the word labor to describe what her body was going through. She could actually see her muscles rippling with each contraction, and the sensation to push grew with every passing second. The epidural had helped, but it didn't take away all the pain. Nor did it ease her sense of helplessness. The baby was coming, and she couldn't stop it. Much of the universe was built on randomness. A single act set forces in motion, and once they were moving, they could not be stopped. She'd met Kit, had fallen in love with him, and now she was having his baby. For most women, this day would be the culmination of hopes and dreams, something to be celebrated, not dreaded. But then Stacy had never been like everyone else.
"Look at me," Kit said gently. "You're going to be fine."
Statistically, he was telling the truth. Childbirth was safe, and despite her age, she was healthy and had done her best to stay that way through the pregnancy. While there were always unexpected developments that could injure or even kill her, they seemed unlikely. No, her bigger problem would be that everything went well and she delivered her baby. "And then what?" Bunny walked into the labor room and crossed to Stacy.
"I'm here. How are you doing?"
Their relationship had always been troubled, always difficult. Stacy had grown up knowing she was a chronic disappointment. She didn't want to learn how to bake or sew or decorate for Groundhog Day. She wanted to know why the stars moved, and some people were better at math than others. Being the kind of wife and mother Bunny admired had been an anathema. She'd prided herself on being better than her mother, on escaping what she viewed as the trap of Bunny's life. Only now she was the one who didn't know how to make things work. She was left with nothing but useless knowledge and an unskilled heart.
"I can't do this, Mom," Stacy whispered. "I can't. All those times you said there was something wrong with me, you were right. I'm not like you."
Bunny took her other hand and squeezed tight.
"Don't be silly. There's nothing wrong with you. And of course you're not like me. You're your own person, and that's how it's supposed to be. If you can cure MS, you can have a baby. Even birds have babies."
"I'm not curing MS. I'm helping reduce the symptoms, and birds don't give birth. They hatch out of eggs."
Her mother sniffed. "See how smart you are?"
She smiled. "Stacy, you're going to have this baby because your body knows what to do. It doesn't matter what your head thinks. In this battle, your body will win." She squeezed harder. "You're not alone, Stacy.
I'm here and Kit's here and your sister is on her way. We're going to get you through this. Her mother's gaze locked with hers. Not just for the birth, either. We're all going to help you through the whole thing. You're going to do just fine. I want to believe you.
Then maybe it's time you started listening to me. You never have before, so I figure I'm due.
Despite everything, Stacy chuckled. Thanks, Mom. Bunny kissed her forehead. You're my baby girl. I'm not going to let you down, and you're not going to let yourself down either. Now, let's have this baby.
Jewel Ray Ponish lay in her bassinet. She was tightly wrapped in a blanket with a tiny pink cap on her head. Becca wrinkled her nose. Is she comfortable like that? I wouldn't like not being able to move around. I think it would freak me out.
You didn't just spend 9 months in a womb, Harper told her, looking at all the babies and letting the wonder of birth fill her with happiness.
Gross, Mom. Is this where I remind you I not only carried you for 9 months, but then I gave birth to you through my vagina?
Becca covered her ears with her hands and began to loudly hum.
Harper laughed. All right. I'm done messing with you. She's so beautiful.
She's red and scrunchy.
That's what newborns look like. Not in commercials or on TV. They use older babies, Harper told her. You can tell by how they cry. It doesn't sound the same. A newborn cry is distinct.
She sighed as she sifted through memories. You cried right away, which was a relief, but you were so small. I was terrified I was going to break you or drop you or something. Plus, I had no idea what to do. The theory of a baby is very different than the reality.
Was Grandma there with you?
She moved in for 2 weeks, and when the time was up, I begged her not to go. She hugged Becca. That happens a lot, by the way. One day you'll be begging me to never leave.
Maybe. Becca sounded doubtful.
Harper let it go. There was plenty of time for her to be proven right. I remember the first time I was alone with you at home. I held you in my arms, and you looked up at me, and I wondered how on earth I was ever going to know how to be your mother. I was so scared. Sometimes I still am. Becca looked at her.
Why?
Everything is always changing. You're not the same little girl who raced home from school so we could bake cookies together.
Harper kept her attention on Jewel Ray.
You don't talk to me as much anymore, and I've tried to figure out when that changed. Do you know?
Becca was silent.
Harper risked glancing at her and saw her daughter staring at the ground.
Was it the divorce? Harper asked quietly.
Were you mad at me for what happened with your dad?
Some, but not much.
Becca looked at her. I know you had to get a job and the VA business means you're home a lot, but you stopped being there. You were always so busy and you never had time for me. One day I realized you just weren't listening, so I stopped talking.
Each word was like a knife to the heart, and some cut all the way through. She wanted to say it wasn't true. Things hadn't happened that way, but what if they had? She wanted to defend herself, to say it hadn't been like that at all. She'd been trying to hold things together, to keep food on the table. She'd been scared and alone and...
And none of that mattered, she reminded herself. Not to Becca. From her daughter's perspective, she hadn't just lost her father. She'd lost her mother, too. At least a little. Sure, she could say that Becca could have tried harder or been more understanding, but Becca was the kid in the relationship. Once the business had started going, Harper had gotten caught up in growing it. They'd fallen into bad habits that had led to more estrangement. Shame wrestled with defensiveness.
I'm sorry, she murmured.
I never meant to let you down.
Mom, you didn't.
I'm sorry I said anything. It's fine.
No.
Harper faced her. It's not fine. Given the circumstances, I did okay, but I could have done better. I should have recognized what was happening.
You were caught up in a lot of stuff. I know you were scared when Dad left,
and hurt and ashamed and a whole lot of other emotions her daughter didn't need to know about.
I was pretty selfish, Becca added. I think it comes with being a teenager. I don't mean to be, but it's hard to think about other people sometimes.
Harper pulled her close and hugged her.
Maybe we can try to do better.
She drew back and smiled at her daughter. Ignore that. What I meant to say was I'm going to do better. I want us to be close again. I want to know what's going on with school and your friends and Ashton and the classes you're taking jazz to.
Becca started to cry and hugged her hard. I want that too, Mom. A lot.
They hung on to each other for a long time. Harper hoped it wasn't too late, that they weren't